Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, we visit with Mr. Mark Haney, Pulaski County farmer and current president of Kentucky Farm Bureau. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
David, I failed to do this earlier in the day, but have you got over your horse show weekend?
Well, it was interesting. I'm very much familiar with livestock showing, and my kids grew up showing pigs, and I enjoyed every bit of that. But my granddaughter, who is three, now has a little old POA pony, and we showed in the lead line class at the Trigg County Country Ham Festival show this past weekend, and it was is different. I packed stuff all day long for a horse show that lasted 10 minutes on my part. But I was as wore out as if I had been working in the field all day. I've never packed so much stuff in my life, just in case you needed it.
Right.
It's just because you might need it, you know. But she came out real well. She won her little lead line class, so we were tickled to death of that. And she was all smiles. Man, so that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. I've got to look up and find that meme that somebody sent me a long time ago and send it to you. Picture of a little girl curled up in a horse stall with a pony on Christmas morning. And it says bankruptcy starter kit.
<That's right>. It's about the truth. It's about the truth.
Well, a horse is different from a hog. A hog will almost show itself, but a horse won't. A horse will show out if you don't watch it.
Yeah.
Well, on the pictures that I saw of her, I was telling him earlier, when she was standing there and she had her trophy and she had the blue ribbon, and the blue ribbon was about half as tall as she was. I mean, you could tell how young she was once she was holding that ribbon. But yeah, I think that you just as well go ahead and get ready, because I think you're making that transition to the horse showing business.
Horse person.
Yep, I think you are.
Easy. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Better than mule person.
Watch yourself. Watch yourself. So.
Oh man. Well, it's a lot of fun, and certainly a lot of fun for kids. I don't care if it's a horse. I don't care if it's a cow or a hog or a goat or whatever it is. Showing livestock is an opportunity for a child to learn a lot of responsibility, learn a lot of life lessons, and learn a lot of skills that they'll apply to all other facts of their life as they grow on. So.
Well, and I think, too, any time that we can get our kids out on the farm in whatever capacity that is, whether that is, you know, showing horses, or whether, like my nephew helping my brother on the farm, or you know, my kids out there, anybody. I mean, you really need to be out there, and any time we can get them out there, I think that just is a good thing to do, because we don't want to get further removed from agriculture, and so we want to keep them engaged in that.
Yeah, she's got it figured out. She, after the show, she was eating her snack, and her two brothers were brushing her horse. So she has got that part of it figured out now.
Smart girl.
Yeah.
When are they going to get a chance to show a horse?
They're into sports. We're doing there lots of sports. So this is her thing and her time to shine. So, but she's got that part figured out. That's the pit crew. That's her pit crew, is what they said.
Well, showing any kind of livestock is a family affair, and if you don't have a good support system to go along with you, you'd run one parent pretty ragged, or grandparent in this case.
That's right.
Well, I think she tends to be the boss anyway, doesn't she?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I thought so.
She gets it honest.
Yeah.
She gets
it honest.
I'm sure. Got a guest with us today, Mr. Mark Haney. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here.
Glad to have you with us. We've had the opportunity to, I guess this is the third show we're doing today, and we kind of saved the best for last to get a chance to sit down and talk with you.
I'm honored. I'm honored.
We want to talk about a variety of things. We'll talk about, of course, Farm Bureau before it's all over, but why don't we just spend a little time talking about production agriculture and talk about your farm and orchard and everything there in Pulaski County.
Sure, be glad to. I live on the farm, excuse me, that I grew up on, and our family has been farming that farm for more than 150 years. And I'm fourth generation. We got six generations now on the ground and somewhat involved. And we're just fortunate to be able to be what's truly called a family farm. Mm-hmm. Feel really good about that. And we've been out there so long. We've been deemed the oldest continuous business in our county.
That's great.
So that's great.
Is agriculture. Yeah. And you think about a lot of businesses in town and banks and all those things. And and when you have longevity on them, it sometimes makes you feel old.
But, well, but what a legacy, though. I mean, that is. I mean, that was a legacy ahead of you, and then the legacy that you are leaving and are helping to leave to family, and hopefully will continue that. And
growing up in further generations now, that whole 150 years, we've had apple production going on on the same location right there. Plus, we've added to it by a long shot, but we've had apple production that whole time. But we were general farm for many, many years. And when I was a child, we had lots of beef cattle, and we raised a lot of corn and tobacco. We were always tobacco producers until the buyout. The buyout got us out. We became more specialized in the orchard and related activities to the orchard really about 40 years ago. And just we have continued to push that and gotten bigger. And our orchard size is pretty good size. We're at about 8,500 trees right now. And, and we have retail sales, a market. We have a pie shop where we make homemade pies every day from scratch. And then we have a cafe on the farm and have a donut shop, coffee shop, all those things that really make a retail operation friendly to farm visits. That's what really makes it effective. We do lots of farm tours for school groups and those, you know, it takes it all to make it work, and it takes a lot of people and a lot of effort, but we're tickled to be able to do that.
Along with your family, what type of outside of family employment do you offer? Do you have, you know, as far as farmhands goes, folks helping in the retail shop, is it all family, or do you have some outside employees as well?
Well, we don't have enough family. We all the family, they're expected to fall back in and participate, and weekends are the biggest, busiest time for us. So everybody comes back and helps. Everyone's involved. But yes, we have full-time employees. Right now we've probably got about 20 to 25 employees to make it all happen. Weekends are the biggest, of course.
Sure.
We've got one, my brother's son, his youngest son, runs day-to-day operations now, and then I have two sons that are involved, but they have other careers, but they're back doing their part on weekends and being involved. So everyone is expected there Friday afternoon, and you can drag out of there Sunday night. That's right, you know.
Well, with that type of operation, you're going to have a seasonal aspect that is much busier than other times of the year, and this fall of the year is that season.
It is, and the busiest time for us is July through really Thanksgiving. And July and August are peach months, and
right.
We normally have a pretty nice peach crop, and that's a lot of activity, and then rolls right into about Labor Day, starts apples, and it's game on till they're all gone. And this year has been the worst crop we've ever had on the farm. We lost our peach crop. If you remember back Christmas Eve of last year when it got sub-zero temperature, they hadn't hardened off enough to survive that. So we lost that crop. Then we had the most perfect apple crop you could imagine for the spring, and it was clean. It was spaced just right. We'd done a good job thinning. Mm-hmm. And on June 11th, we had the hail of all hails.
Oh, my goodness.
It was, we had 22 minutes of tennis ball size hails.
Oh my goodness!
So it just devastated the crop and all equipment and cars and rooftops and everything you can imagine. So everything's shining down home. It's all new.
Mr. Haney, how does when you have those kind of devastating things happen to your crop, how do they bounce back? I mean, what's the from an agriculture standpoint and talking about production, how does it look for next year? How does that work?
Fortunately, the trees survived it just fine. We do a really, really good job pruning the trees, and that is the secret to fruit production is the pruning process. And if you think about it, we try to prune it off thin enough that that sunlight penetrates the tree all day long, and that's that's what makes fruit buds, makes production. So when you do that, you have scaffolding limbs that are pretty sturdy, really good. We just lost the fruit for the year, and everything else will come back. We do have insurance through what's called NAP insurance through FSA, and it's not the best, but it's, it covers losses.
And better than nothing.
Much, much, much better. And you can buy up and get a little bit higher coverage. And if you're in fruit production in Kentucky, especially peaches, you better be buying up.
I was going to say, with the peach crop, and typically it's that late spring freeze that'll get those buds.
Typically, yes.
I think whether it's a backyard peach tree or an orchard, everybody experiences that at some point in time. And you probably have good numbers, but out of how many years will you have a peach crop
When I was a youngster, 50 years ago, we only got a peach crop maybe one out of 3 years. Mm-hmm. But, we'll have 7 to 8 out of 10.
That's good.
Now, it's because we're buying better varieties and varieties that are more equipped for this area. Right. And it is much better. Much, much better. We do have, some things that we can do. There are some sprays that you can make that will delay blooming a little bit. If you can delay a week, it makes a big difference for that late spring frost. And then we've got a machine called a Frost Dragon puts out hot air, similar to a sprayer would. You're blowing out hot air. And it'll raise the temperature, 4 or 5 degrees, and it'll give you that for about 10 to 12 minutes. Then you got to go back and do it again. So it's limited to how much you can cover, but it can save the crop.
With a lot of these freezes, there's typically only an hour or two that you have to be concerned with early in the morning, typically right at daylight almost.
We never start running that machine till about 4:30 in the morning. It's slowly, but when that sun begins to come out, boy, the temperature just plummets, So, and plus it runs off propane. We've got about 4 hours of propane, so if you run out too early, you really done bad. We start late and try to run it till it warms up.
And it probably takes a combination of all three of those things, the heat source, the spray, the better varieties to get you to that 7 or 8 crops out of every 10 years.
And nothing works this year that worked last year, it is kind of trial and error. You watch the moon, you watch everything. Old fruit growers tell me they have never, ever lost a crop in what they call the dark of the moon. When it's a dark night and the moon's not out, I said, don't worry, go to bed and go to sleep, don't worry about it, it'll be fine.
I've heard that,
and we found that to be true. But if it's a crystal clear bright moon night, hang on. It's going to really drop down.
Clouds may have something to do with that too, holding some of that heat in. I've known that to be a big help.
And where we live, we're right on Lake Cumberland. We're right on the shores of Lake Cumberland, and we get a lot of fog. So many times a lot of people have frost, and we'll have a big fog. Kind of helps.
Well, and anytime you're raising, we say specialty crops, but fruit in particular, just the management and of those crops, it's a high maintenance crop, and and just being able to have, like you said, you had, what, 20 or 25 employees now, yeah, probably.
Right.
But, you know, it's not just during the time that you're picking the apples. It's that all that work that you're doing, you said from July, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
On, it's constant. I mean, just the pruning and then just all of the other things you got to do and then just trying to do everything you can when there's going to be that late freeze to try to make that crop survive and then managing the insects. And it's not a one and done.
That's right. It's
not a go out there like you can and spray once and then, oh, we're good for the rest of the year.
You're right, Vicki. It's not for the faint of heart either.
Mm-mm.
It's you invest so much time and energy and labor and involved when you plant an orchard and you got to wait, you know, 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
to really get it in, and then you think it's gone in 15 or 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you gotta really be involved in it and just hang on, you know. And but there's more good times than there are bad.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, this year I was fortunate enough to be able to go on a certified farm market tour with, and of course, Mark, you were there, and,
mm-hmm,
and that was one of the, we went to several apple orchards in Minnesota, and one of the interesting things that we got to see was that netting that they put on their, mm-hmm, trees to protect them from hail. Well, the first place we went to, I saw that netting, and of course, my mind went to, what are we doing here? Because, I mean, you know, I was thinking birds. Anytime you see netting,
sure,
I was thinking, are we protecting them from birds or what is it? But it was netting, and it was really interesting to see that. And then we went to a larger orchard, and we actually got to see them. They was taking that netting off because they was getting ready to harvest, and that's what. And he had, they had several trees, of course, but they basically put the netting on their more high dollar apples. To try to protect those from what you just said. You know, you have this whole crop and you're ready to harvest, and
yeah,
then you have a storm in it and it, yeah, takes it out. So
yeah, it's amazing. You wouldn't think that netting would turn hail, but they said it worked. Yeah,
it was very interesting,
yeah,
to see that and just the things that people that they do in this industry to
yeah,
protect that crop. You know, it's,
you know, one of the hardest things we do as a grower is to pick out a variety. We have all these new varieties that come every year, you know, that's coming out. And we go to shows and we try to figure it out. And we try to pick out something that we think's going to sell 5 years from now.
Right. Yeah. You know?
When it's bearing fruit.
Yeah. When it's bearing fruit. And when you make a mistake and get a bad variety, you've made a big mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, boy, we really concentrate on that very closely and watch what our customers shy away from and what they kind of grab a hold of. And it's and if everyone had the same likes and desires, it'd be simple. We'd grow red or yellow. That'd be,
yeah,
but
that's your choice.
It's not. It doesn't work that way anymore.
Yeah.
Mr. Haney, how much of how many new trees do y'all plant annually? I mean, what, you know, how does that kind of figure in y'all's rotation, I guess?
Well, what we really ideally would be that if we could plant about 5% of the orchard every year, take out 5 and replant it, that'd give you a 20-year turnaround.
Right.
And that would really keep you a young, vibrant orchard. What the mistake so many new producers make is they plant an orchard and it takes 3 to 5 years to get it going. And then it's in its prime for about another 5 years, and they're working hard, and then all at once they think, ooh, these trees are getting old now,
yeah,
you know, and they've missed those, and then they just can't catch back up.
Yeah,
so
it's right, almost like you got to start again.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
yeah,
it's just like, it's like taking care of a herd, you know, you've got a cull and you've got a keep heifers, and you got to develop them, mature them, and it's the same way with crops and orchard.
Right.
You know, it's you just got to be thinking and managing ahead.
Well, and maturity, when the apples are going to mature too, because I mean, I would think that you're going to want apples to come in at early, and then some to go through a little later. So
mid season,
and then later, so you've got a longer season to have a product.
We start picking our first variety mid-June, and we pick the last variety the first week of November. Yeah. So,
wow.
So really and truly, that's a good thing because most of them come in around that now, Labor Day for early October. But you want to have product early and you want to have product late. That's good. The hardest thing early is to get you get a lot of good cooking varieties in the summertime, but to get a good, hard, crispy, crunchy apple for eating in July, it's hard to get. So once you find one, you kind of hang with it. So those are tricks of the trade.
Yeah. So on the apple pies, you said you've got the pie shop there. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you all do year round?
You know, we have in the past, and this past year we did, and we closed Christmas, and we find out it's better if we can close and really take a break, deep clean of all the facilities and all that, but the problem happens if you've got really good help and you lay them off, you're going to lose them. We try to think about that. We try to at least take a month, 6 weeks off and get them doing the deep clean and all the things and keep the payroll going.
Sure.
And not lose. Now, a lot of our help is seasonal, and we use a lot of high school and college kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they're off, and we think, well, we're really set all summer. We got this best help. And then come middle of August, they disappear. They're gone. You know? And we got to start over.
Yeah.
So, but it
sounds like
typical.
My place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've got a son that's a junior in a college, and by the time I need him, it's time to go back to school.
Time to go back to school, and he can't wait. That's right.
Count down the days.
Well, Mr. Haney, we know and appreciate you coming and being with us today, and I know that your tenure as a Farm Bureau president is starting to come kind of to a close. And talk with us a little bit about some of the things that you're really proud of that Kentucky Farm Bureau has done in your tenure and maybe even over your entire career that you've had here with Kentucky Farm Bureau.
I guess one of the premier things that I would be remiss if I didn't talk about was the effect that early in my career, I was on the executive committee as the second vice president, along with Marshall Cole and Sam Moore. Mm-hmm. And we were the ones in place when we got the tobacco buyout. Mm-hmm. That was a premier thing that happened. And then from that, we got to put in the Ag Development Fund and the Ag Development Board. And all the positive things that have come out with that, nothing else in agriculture in Kentucky would shine above that. I mean, that has been so good for all of us. That has certainly been a highlight. That was a hard thing to pull off. And there was a lot of people involved. To say Farm Bureau did it would be inaccurate. To say the Burley Co-op did it, that would be inaccurate. It was all the ag groups of Kentucky. It was all the ag groups of Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina. Everyone was involved in pulling on the rope to make that happen. The key to it, really and truly, the key to it was Senator McConnell and Hal Rogers. Those two stepped up to the plate in the wee hours of the morning, and made that all happen, and I saw that with my own eyes, and I was so pleased when all that happened. I've got in my office a copy of the bill that was imprinted, and Senator McConnell made me a copy of that and signed it and framed it and gave it to me. That was very, very, very nice.
Absolutely.
The work that we have done together with the insurance company, it's not always been as cohesive as it is now, and we've really worked hard at it over the years. The engine that drives Kentucky Farm Bureau is our insurance sales. They are separate. They're two different entities, but you can't buy insurance in that company unless you're a member of Kentucky Farm Bureau Federation. So that's the reason we have 470,000 families on our roll, and that's why we have enough money to actually do the lobbying. and do the advocacy work that's so important, and be able to really fund youth programs and our LEAD program that trains young leaders. And we never stop giving skill training to Farm Bureau members. We do it for county presidents. Mm-hmm. We do it as executive committee. We do seminars. We do things to hone our skills always. But it's all about developing leadership from within. And mm-hmm. I'm very proud of that. And I've worked hard to make that accomplishment.
Yeah, I graduated from the LEAD program, mm-hmm. and it was a great program. And I think we've got to have those kinds of programs for our people in agriculture to be able to communicate with whether they're some type of news organization that they want to interview them, but to be able to speak intelligently and be able to address the issues as they are. We had training on media training with that program, and that was so valuable to me, and I surely appreciate everything that I gained from that program.
Yeah, David, if you think about the age group of that LEAD program, and the reason that we're so successful in that, we do a new group every 2 years, so mm-hmm. we're getting a lot of people out mm-hmm. on the ground. And that's the age group that really wants to be politically involved. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that will make the call to a legislator. Mm-hmm. They will make the call into Washington, D.C. and say, hey, this is what we'd like to see happen. Mm-hmm. We have to have those people willing to do that. And that training gives them the confidence, and they understand the issues. Mm-hmm. And when they get on a phone, they're not just reading a script, you know. They pick that up real quick if you're just reading a script mm-hmm. and calling somebody in Washington. But if you're just having a conversation and you're talking about, in your own words, why this piece of legislation affects me on my farm mm-hmm. or why it really makes it difficult for me to run my operation, those are the people they want to hear from.
Yep.
That's right. And I'll second what you said about the LEAD program. I also was able to go through that. And it was a great experience for me, and you do it kind of puts you got to think outside the box. You got to get a little uncomfortable sometimes when you're learning these new skills, and like learning with the media and how to talk to the media and to be able to keep your composure sometimes if they're trying, you know. And it's just an excellent program. Matter of fact, I was just talking to someone in my county. That she's just recently graduated college, and she's working, and she's eager to start looking at some things. And I told her, I said, you need to look into that, to the Farm Bureau LEAD program, because it's an excellent program over the next 3 or 4 years, you know, for her to get into, because it's, and not only that, just the relationships that you build with the people that you're in that class with. You know, you're in there, it's a 2-year program, yeah. and you spend a lot of time with those folks. And then also just learning about the Federation side. I mean, that's when I learned so much about the Federation side of Farm Bureau.
Right.
Because so many people think it's just insurance.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't it startling when you first hear your voice on tape or on video right. when you hear it back? And you think, oh, my goodness, is that me?
Yes, it is. That's right.
I got so tickled that, and I'll tell this story on myself, but when we were doing I was selected. They'd select 3 or 4 people to do the TV interview. And so I was selected to do that, and we got up there and did it, and it was all good. And he had asked me some questions, pretty controversial questions, and I just dodged him. I mean, wasn't no problem. Unbeknownst to me, they left the camera running when we wound it up, and he put his microphone down, but the microphone was still on the camera, and he asked me those same questions. And I proceeded to tell him what I really thought and learned a very valuable lesson to treat a microphone as it is always on. And,
yes.
But that was great training. I would tell that on myself. So
I got, I got thrown into the fire pretty quickly about the time I became president. Our biggest day, of course, is Farm Bureau Day at the State Fair. And a lot of controversy was around that, if you all remember. We were mm-hmm. being protested, and people didn't like our stance on a lot of issues. And so I had to go out and do an interview before daylight, of course, and out there first time, and had to deal with a reporter that kept throwing mm-hmm. a hot mic at me. And And but they had me well equipped, and I was ready. And I remember what they kept telling me, David. They said, "Pivot, pivot. Every time you hear something you don't want to answer, pivot." And
right, right.
So I've always remembered that. Just it's pretty good, you know. That's right. Let me tell you about something else.
That's right. That's exactly right. Divert. That's exactly right. I like pivot. I'm going to have to remember that.
That's right.
Pivot. That's I'm going to have to remember that.
Well, you know, so much of Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization. A lot of the stuff that comes up to your office comes from the folks in the county. And then y'all take that on to Washington or Frankfort. Talk with us about how important that grassroots, you know, startup is going up to Washington and Frankfort.
Well, it gives us reassurance when we're actually hearing from folks all across the state, and we're actually hearing something about our policy or about a new issue that is very important. We can go talk about it in confidence that this really is the issue. This really is what our people are saying. And if we were just a talking head, talking to a staffer, that, you know, if it's just, in other words, it's not my role to lobby staffers. Mm-hmm. We have our lobbyists and staff that lobby staffers, and so when I go, I'm not gonna play a role till I'm talking to the member or mm-hmm. talking to a congressman or talking to one of the senators, mm-hmm. and it gives, you know, he wants to hear earnestly what's true, mm-hmm. and not just smokescreen. Okay. So for me to really be able to deliver what the message it needs to be, I have to be reassured that I'm pretty solid on what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and it's not just a personal opinion that I'm trying to. It is the thoughts of Kentucky, and it is thoughts of our members out there. Mm-hmm. So that part is very important. So it takes a lot of effort to do that. You can't just have a meeting and just bring everybody in the room and just say, okay, what do you think? You know, well, you know, you know what's going to happen. They're going to sit there and look at you.
Yes.
And there's going to be one eager beaver that's going to, man, they're going to load the wagon here because it's their time.
Yeah.
And so neither one of those is what you want to leave town with. You want to have, so it takes a little time, kind of get the engine going, get the conversation started, and maybe, you know, get folks to thinking and get mm-hmm. them comfortable to be able to say things. Mm-hmm. In Farm Bureau, it, you know, I say all the time, we are nonpartisan people. We're highly political, and we're going to be involved. We have opinions on a lot of things. So in Farm Bureau in itself has a political side to it. If you want to advance in Farm Bureau, you've got to have peer support mm-hmm. to
sure.
get there.
Right. Sure.
So you can't be that person just wanders into the room and starts popping off at the mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to develop some credibility.
Sure.
And so that's the reason it takes effort to get mm-hmm. that going. It's not just one meeting and you're done. It's mm-hmm. You got to bring people along, get them comfortable. Mm-hmm. Talking and all this training, lead, boot camp, all those things that are done really set the stage for people to be able to be involved.
And I think really the way the structure is, Farm Bureau structure is set up, from taking those resolutions from the county mm-hmm. and sending those to the state, and then you have a committee that goes through there and kind of looks at each one of those resolutions and figure out what, you know, what's important and what's maybe not important or repetitive, and kind of kicking that to the side and then really coming to the table with some really important issues.
I'm telling you, that's the most fun 3 days in Farm Bureau is the Resolutions Committee. I chaired that for 10 years. Eddie has been chairing it for 15. Mm-hmm. And that's always kind of the role of the vice president, one of the vice presidents. But really to bring two people from every district all over the state in there for 3 days, and honestly, somebody is know something about every issue. Right. Intelligent, right. They yep. can talk about issues, sure. and you learn things that you did not know existed the way they did, mm-hmm. And there's some highly arguments that go on, and but at the end of the day, we take a vote, and right. it's a democratic process, but it's so educational. I wish people could just. Set and be involved in that. Yeah, Lead, you did set in mm-hmm. on a little bit of it.
Yes,
but once again, these people sitting in there, they're wanting to advance too, so they're not going to do much while you're all in there watching.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was fixing to say. It was pretty calm when we were in there.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're back to everybody's trying to survive.
Here. Be on their best behavior there. So. But it is so important to have that, you know, and to have and that also makes, as a member, that makes me feel like I've got a voice mm-hmm. there in Louisville with the Farm Bureau, with the Federation part, and then that voice is taken to Frankfort and then taken on to Washington, D.C., I think is really what, from a member standpoint, I think that's what it makes me feel like.
I think it's one of the things that ties our state together, because you hear these issues that are going on other places and you think that's the same issue we have, or that's similar to our issue. Mm-hmm. Our state is so diverse geographically and the people that make it up. But that I've always felt like that was one of the things that brought Farm Bureau together from across the state, from Pikeville to Paducah.
And people come in and they really talk about the issue that's dwell on their mind. I'll mm-hmm. never forget one of our business sessions on the floor at the annual meeting. We were talking about farm policy and everything was going smooth, and we got in the biggest conversation over how far a mailbox is off the highway. That's a big deal when you're in Grain Country, you know.
Yes, it is.
And a big deal if you're in East Kentucky, because you don't have anywhere to put that mailbox, you know. And so we had the biggest row you've ever seen on the floor. And it went on for like an hour. And so you never know what's going to come out of a business session in Farm Bureau.
Yeah.
Well, we always say, or we should tell ourselves this, I guess, but that always be willing to see something from someone else's perspective. Yeah. You know, you can't get anywhere if you can only see it from your viewpoint. Yeah,
right.
You know, we got to be, and that's a prime example of what that example you just gave. And neither side was wrong.
Right.
You know, yeah, and there's valid points for both, but you but you figured out a way to compromise and figure something out. Yeah,
my dad always thought he was really a sharp guy, and he just simplified things. And he said, "I never want to tie my shoes so tight that I can't get them off."
I like that too.
So that makes a lot of sense to mm-hmm. me too.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Annual meeting coming up, I believe November the 30th. Is 30th. That correct? Mm-hmm. On a Thursday. Starts on a Thursday. Runs the 1st and the 2nd. Coming up in Louisville, Kentucky, what are some of the issues that may be coming up?
There's farm bills always at the top of the line, and we're so far down the road. We're all disappointed with the way things are transpiring in Washington right now, and it puts more and more pressure on the farm bill. Farm bill, I've said for many years, it's the most important piece of legislation for rural America, mm-hmm. especially rural Kentucky. So much is funded through that farm bill, and we all live with it and know it and understand it. The there's going to be a lot of highlights at this annual meeting, though. Zippy Duval, American Farm Bureau President, will be keynote speaker for that commodity luncheon.
Fantastic speaker.
Yes, we were together this past week in Washington at AFBF meetings, and he's looking forward to coming. Commissioner Quarles will be addressing alongside him at that commodity group. It'll be his last address mm-hmm. to Farm Bureau right there. And at the same time, we're going to introduce the new Commissioner of Agriculture on the same stage. So that's whoever that's going to be,
right.
One of the two, either Jonathan or Sierra, one of the two. And that'll be a big day. Of course, it winds me up, you know, and right. and uh, Then on Sunday, Saturday, we'll elect new officers. We're going to be electing a new not only a new president, a new first vice president, and a new second vice president. Mm-hmm. So it's going to kind of be a new team. I'll move on to hopefully the what's called immediate past president, and still have a seat on the board, still be involved, and still be there to help Eddie. Obviously, I think I don't think he'll be challenged in his role as a new president, and look forward to being the player that I need to be. Marshall Cole, Sam Moore, Bill Sprague, all those were mentors of mine coming on, and I want to do the same thing for the new team, of course. So, but look forward. It's going to be a really, really good annual meeting. I do predict this will be the largest one we've ever had in attendance. We've got races going on. That's a big thing. We got all those players that I just named that's going to be involved. We got good speakers, and we got a good entertainment speaker coming to make us laugh and have a good time. So all that's good.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you personally, you know, and on behalf of all of us, thank you for the time that you've put in and your leadership that you have given, you know, to Kentucky Farm Bureau. And I know you've been in this role a long time, several years. And I don't know, well, I do know that most people do not know the amount of time that it takes to be in this type of leadership role that you've held now for, what, 15 years?
15 years and 10 years as a vice president. Yeah. So 25
so
years.
So for 25 leadership. Years, you mm-hmm. have really dedicated and made a commitment to leading Kentucky Farm Bureau and speaking on behalf of Kentucky agriculture, and we certainly want to thank you for that and for all the things that you have done while you were there and had a part of, and I know sometimes in those roles they kind of go, it's almost like you a thankless kind of job sometimes. It really is, and that's not why you're in it, is to get a pat on the back, but we do appreciate that.
Thanks, Vicki. I appreciate that. But it's been an absolute joy. So I've loved every minute of it. They've not all been easy, but but I've loved every minute of it.
Well, I know we look forward just to the whole convention in general, but from an ag agent's point of view, one of the partnerships we've always had is the university always has a good in-service training for ag agents, for the most part, to get us there so we can be involved. And for those who hadn't done that and stayed past that first day, they need to do that. I think, David, between you and me, as much gray as we have in our hair, ag agent-wise, we need to be making sure that happens with
that's
a lot
right.
of those younger
yeah,
agents.
Right.
So
it's good to go. Well, we,
yeah.
it,
it, great, it's a great, great partnership that we have between yeah. the UK and the ag agents and Kentucky Farm Bureau. We really appreciate yeah. it. A lot of us have a seat on the county boards
mm-hmm.
and
right.
Work very closely with our county boards. And, you know, I don't think that we could do a lot of the things that we do in the county without our local Farm Bureau boards, for sure.
That's the place where I would love to see our relationship even strengthened more, is at sure. that county board level with the
yeah.
ag agents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had the good fortune to serve in three different counties, Callaway, Christian, and Hopkins, and had three wonderful Farm Bureau boards mm-hmm. that brought yep. me in as a new agent to those counties, took me in and make sure I got into the places that I needed to get into to be successful. And
we certainly realized that we could be the organization we need to be without the relationship we have with Extension.
Yeah.
We recognize that every day.
Well, you know, we always try to get towards the end of the show. We always try to wrap things up with a timely tip. And you provided us with our timely tip today. I think it's a good one that we can't really remind folks of enough. But right now we're going to be towards the end of October when this airs. But on into the end of November, we need to be mindful of our traffic on the roads and our farm equipment, making sure that folks are watching out for the equipment that's on the road, giving them enough room to make those wide turns, giving them enough stopping room, not crowding right up in behind of that combine where he can't see you in his mirrors, all of those things. Well, road safety in general.
Yep.
It just needs to be extra exemplified during this time of the year.
Yeah, farmers have to move on the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's everybody's road.
Yeah, Mr. Haney, thank you. for what you do, what you have done and continue to do, and provide that leadership to those folks coming behind you. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. It's been a real joy today. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you being on here with us, and thank you for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.